And we talked last week about overcoming our genetics. There are tendencies of our spirit and our attitude and our manner that if they're not agreeable with God's will, we have to overcome. We must overcome the bad genes, if you will, that we have inherited. But today, let's talk about overcoming bad past experiences. Whether that's bad past experiences at the hands of others, whether it's bad past experiences you brought on yourself, or whether it's just you live in the world and there are chance experiences that sometimes aren't good and you happen to experience one of those, as we sometimes do from time to time. So whether it's self-imposed, at the hands of others, or it just happened, those bad past experiences we have got to overcome. All of the ungodliness that's going on in the world round about us just increases the likelihood that there will be transgressions made against us. Turn to Proverbs 29 and we'll get underway with a scripture reference. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse number 16. Proverbs 29, verse number 16. As the ungodliness of society increases, so the risk of transgression against us. When the wicked are multiplied, he says, transgression increases. There are just by sheer chance numbers likely a greater likelihood that you're going to be mistreated, or that bad experiences will have to be experiencing from time to time, whether your own fault or those of others. It may be, and let me just give you a few examples at the hands of others, what some of you might even could say is true of your past. It might be abusive parents. There might be those who could say, I was sexually abused by my father or mother. There are verbal abuses that parents often render, physical abuses that some have had to experience as a child. Locked in cages is some of the most severe instances we hear. In Brilliant, a few years ago, there was a story of that, where children had been locked in cages like animals. Those kind of experiences are of the worst sort, but you can be lesser in degree and still have bad experiences at the hands of ungodly parents. Or it may be abusive authority figures. It might be religious leaders. We've all heard about the Catholic priest scandal of a few years ago, and it's still to some degree in the news. Or it could be school teachers that abused. It's frequent to hear of teachers who are molesting students, and I mean both male and female students, or male and female teachers and or male and female students. It could be neglect of parents. It may not be what they did, it's what they didn't do. They never were around. They were not there to have a positive influence in my life. And though it's not as egregious as the abusiveness that I spoke about earlier, it still has a very harmful effect. It could be criminal behavior. It could be that I was raped as a teenager. Or it could be that I was assaulted by other people and the scars are here to show of that. It could be some mental scars, not so much physical, where people have abused me in my youth. It may be the horrors of war. We've all heard of the Gulf War syndrome. Most every war could probably have a syndrome. And there are those that are affected negatively by their experiences in warfare. It could be disease. And that's more so a chance thing. But still, it could be the ravages of disease. It could be poverty. I grew up in the Depression and the hardship of that. It may be emotional traumas. The ridicule and the belittlement. I was made fun of all my youth growing up. Kids made fun of me. Playmates at school would belittle me. You remember the Columbine incident of quite a few years ago now, and there's others similar. They will try to look into the shooter's background as to why he would do such a terrible thing as that, and you'll hear from time to time they were belittled by their students. Doesn't excuse it. But look at that kind of awful experience affecting such an outcome. And the list could just go on and on and on of bad past experiences that we have gone through and maybe have a difficult time getting over. The problem is not that you've experienced them. I know we think it is, but it's not. For the Christian, the problem is not that it even has had an effect on you. That's not the problem either, really. The problem is how it affects your present behavior. how it is that you're now dealing reaction in a reaction to that. The victimization syndrome, if you will. Now, we might be rightly victims. I was a victim of crime. I was a victim of abuse. I was a victim of this. And rightly, that might be the case. That's not what I'm speaking about. But when we have a victimization mentality that causes such as this, for instance, being unwilling to be personally now held responsible for my present behavior due to my past. It's not my fault that I have the problems that I have today because of the bad experiences I had yesterday or a number of yesterdays ago. Then it's a problem. Justifying even behavior as acceptable. Saying that which I do is right because of my past, due to my past. This is like taking the next step, saying what I do wrong is right because of what happened in my past so awfully wrong to me. It's somehow counterbalancing, meaning I had such a bad upbringing, I had such a bad traumatic experience in my past. The things that I do now I know are wrong, but they're viewed as justifiable to make up for that in some way or another. Two wrongs don't make a right, someone has said, and amen to that. Two wrongs never make a right. Two wrongs just make two wrongs, as opposed to one. And then there's this, failing to do the right thing due to my past. And this is just the lazy man's excuse. I don't do what I ought to do, and you can tell me all day long what it is I need to do, but because of my miserable experiences of past, I'm excused from doing anything constructive with the rest of my life. Anybody? No, don't show hands now. Anybody know anybody like that? It might be you. Can't get up off of your seat and go constructively make something of your life because I can't get over what happened in my past. So whether it is being not, in my mind, not being held personally responsible, I'm reviewing for you now, or whether it's justifying what I do is right to make up for that, or it's just I'm lazy and slothful about making something constructive of my life because of I just can't get over it. Well, it has to be gotten over. It's a big mistake. That's not getting over it. And we're busy, ought to be at least, busy in overcoming. Remember, you have a free will. You're bigger than your past experiences. You're bigger than your past. You can overcome it. No, that's not worded correctly. You must overcome it. There's no can to it. There's no hopefulness to it, except that I will do it. I will overcome, so help me God, the past experiences so tragic and so awful in my life. It may be like a cross that you bear. I think we had a lesson about this a few weeks ago about, you know, bearing your cross. Now, I'm talking about bearing the cross of Jesus. I'm talking about bearing your own. And we all have various crosses that we're called upon daily to bear. And you might say, this is mine. This is mine. My past haunts me every day of my life. Then bear that cross and follow Jesus. Don't let it weigh you down as if it's something I can never get over. It has to be gotten over. All right. How to overcome our bad past experiences. I know you're laughing a little bit inside, at least saying, oh, that's easy to say. Forget about it. I'm still going to say it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Well, I bet you there's no scripture that says we ought to forget about it. There is. Look at Philippians chapter 3. And we'll get started with the practical how-to part of our lesson. Philippians chapter 3. And verses 7 through 14. But what things were gained to me, and that's spoken of prior to verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, no, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forget about it. Paul says, I just forget it. Forget good things? Yep. Forget bad things? Yep. I forget and I don't dwell on the things that are past. I dwell on the things that are needing to be accomplished in serving the Lord in the future. Notice we have to decide to count certain things in this life as what? Loss. Well, that was a lost cause. Well, my whole past is just a write-off. My whole past was so awful, it was just practically worth nothing. Paul says, amen, brother. I had a lot of things going for me, and I've just counted it all as rubbish for the excellence of coming to where I am as a Christian. And if it's your awful past, or if it's your great success, you got to forget about that and move on in serving the Lord like you should. You've got to forget about it. In comparison to the excellence of knowing Jesus, forget about it. Now, this is desire plus determination. You can't just give yourself amnesia. I wish I could sometimes. You can't just zap brain cells and make that memory go away. I know that. But we can choose not to dwell on them. Yes, we can. We can choose what we dwell on in thought. I'm not going to entertain them anymore. I refuse to talk about them. And especially, I will refuse to let them affect my behavior today. Just today, one day at a time, I'm going to overcome my bad past experiences. And we'll talk about the day after tomorrow when the day after tomorrow gets here. Tomorrow, today, you've heard that saying, live one day at a time. In this kind of thing, probably that's really good advice. Today, I'm going to try to overcome my bad past experience. Tomorrow, I'll try to do it again. Notice that the apostle in Philippians 3 determined to put the past behind him, whether good or bad, to forget the things behind him. That's raw determination. I don't believe for a moment raw determination alone will do the trick, but I do believe you can't go past this to the next one, which is coming up in just a moment, until you really want to do something about this. The rest of it won't work. The rest of it won't be much effective. You've got to know, for no more cop-outs, no more blaming others. No more blaming the events of my past. Start getting over it. You might say, well, I want to absolutely overcome it. You can't absolutely overcome it till you start trying to overcome it. So item number one up for consideration is this. How do I overcome the bad past experiences that I've had in my life, whether my own fault or whether others' fault or just chance fault? How do I get past that? Start. Start forgetting about it. Number two, press onward and upward. Are you still in 3:13 again? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let's walk. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. I call this pressing onward and upward. How do you overcome your bad past experiences? To do this item number two, pressing onward and upward, will not allow you to just sit pat where you are. To rest on your laurels, dwelling on anything past, good or bad. You've got to forget about it, as the previous point said. But now, is that it? Just forget about it? No, we've got four or five answers coming up. But you've got to start there. Try forgetting about it. Number two, start pressing onward and upward. We often tell people that they've got to get over it, right? We must go onward in our venture to do the right thing. We often tell people struggling with problems, see if you don't recognize this one. You got to move on. How many times have you said something like that? It's time to move on. At a funeral, somebody has a right to have grief. Pete mentioned in class, you know, we have to weep with those who weep. There's great lamentation made at the death of Stephen, rightly so, but you sooner or later, preferably sooner, need to get over it and move on. You can't let the grief of a death of a spouse or a child or a parent neutralize you and your effectiveness for God, and especially your receiving eternal life, because I can't get over my father dying, or my wife dying, or my child dying, or whatever. And I'm just giving one example of a bad experience. We view that as bad. Bad experience like that,
You got to move on.
It's time to move on and up in your service to the Lord. Friends will even coax us out of our grief when it begins to be something that has seemingly deeply set in. And they'll say it's time to move on. Amen. And the scriptures say about the same thing. It's time to move on. But the Bible doesn't say just to move on. It does say move on. But I mean, it says move on and up. Move onward and upward to press on. In fact, look at verse 12 again. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. And then dropping to 14, I press. You basketball people, what's a full court press? They really come hard on defense to try to keep them in their end of the court. We're putting on a full court press. They're pushing hard to keep them from their goal. Well, we are putting on a full court press and going to heaven. Working hard at it, energetically. Vine, in his dictionary of Greek words, indicates this idea of pressing is the idea of pursuing and speeding on earnestly. You can't be content with just making a little progress every now and again. But we have to be running the race, not walking it. Notice also verse 13 again. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's this idea of stretching. In my mind, I picture the man who's in a 100-meter dash stretching for the finish line. They lean into it. And that's the language here that that's the way I see it. The Bible says you need to forget the things that are behind you, whether good or bad. In this case, we're talking about bad things. Forget those things. And you need to reach forward, stretch if you will, and press hard at going onward and upward. That'll help you overcome. That will. Surely will. We are headed upward toward heaven. It's an upward call in Christ Jesus. So our attention will begin to be more focused there than where Jesus is at the right hand of God than rather on earth and at our past experiences of life. We begin to lose sight of worldly things. The Christian sets his affections on things above. The things that are gained here less and less are valued. We are now children of God, heavenly beings. We're not at home here anymore. I'm seeking for heaven. I'm seeking to not only overcome my bad experiences, I'm seeking to overcome the whole world. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Pray about it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pray about it. How? Pray for what? In overcoming bad past experiences, pray to God to help you to forget your awful past. Pray God to ease your worried mind. Pray God to help you to give thanks for what you have and stop dwelling on your tragic experiences of the past that you can't seem to get over. God has promised He will do what? Bring you peace. Peace to your soul and guard your heart and mind. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. This is the idea of renewing your mind. Make yourself think on good things. Meditate on good things. Surround yourself with good thinking people. Have a little bit of that rub off on you. Yesterday when I was preparing the lesson, I thought about making a point, and I didn't, but now I will. And you go to church services a lot. Why? Oh, the list is, I won't say it's long, but there's quite a few answers. But one of them is, I want to be around good thinking people. So a little bit of that will rub off on me. I want to get my thoughts in a good vein for an hour or two. Okay, I decided not to put it in the lesson, and now I just did. All right, let's finish the lesson. Number 5, reach out to others. This will sound like last week's almost identically, verbatim to what I said last week, because it applies to both. In trying to overcome our bad past experiences, reach out to others. You actually are in a good position to help others who may be experiencing some of the tragic things that you grapple with also. Call it a silver lining in an otherwise dark gray cloud. Call it what you will, but you can relate to others in a way that maybe others can't. This also, though, will be a benefit to you, not just to them. It will reinforce your own efforts to overcome and to steer others in the same way. By reaching out to others, we're not just helping them alone, we're helping ourselves. How many of you guys that preach and teach up here have I said this to? I've indicated to you, you'll get the most good out of it. You will. Those fellows who prepare sermons or exhortations or whatever, I've said so many times to them, you'll get the most good out of it. We might be thinking I'm doing the congregation a service by preaching to them, and you are. But you'll get more so out of it than anybody by the preparation you have to put into it and the delivery. Well, anyway, that's an illustration of what I'm talking about here. As you reach out to others, you'll be benefited, greatly benefited, by trying to help others to overcome their awful past, maybe in a similar way as you have had to do. Okay. You can overcome anything through Christ strengthening you. If you're still in Philippians, look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that includes overcoming your bad